Let's stay on the markets here, bringing Matt Maley, equity strategist over at Miller Tabak. Matt, always great to have you on the program. Let's just start with the S&P 500, closing above 4,500 on Friday. We think about how strong this year has been for the equity market. What surprises you most, I guess, about the setup we've seen through the summer, where you just have had a long string of things people have been concerned about, the taper, not the least among them, and yet the S&P, through all this rotation, manages to continue making records?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the biggest things, of course, is that we still have this emergency level stimulus coming into the marketplace. And now that the Fed is telling us that they're going to start pulling back on that. But that's been able to offset any kind of new negative news that pops up. And it's going to be harder going forward with as the Fed tapers back. And sounds like they're going to do it, just over 6 months, 8 months at the most. It's going to happen relatively quickly. And that's going to make it tougher going forward for us to have it kind of offset any kind of negative new news that might pop up that always seems to happen. And so, I think last week's reaction to the chairman's comments was showed a little bit of a complacency in the marketplace. And I'm just a little bit concerned that the market, it doesn't necessarily mean the market has to roll over in a major way, even though we are heading into that September-October timeframe. But it does, I think, leave the upside somewhat limited.
Matt, I liked your headline on your note this morning. Don't kid yourselves, less stimulus equals tightening. Do you think the Fed really signaled that they are going to start to tighten policy very soon? And if so, what sectors of the market could be hit first?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how, but yes, to answer your first question, yes, I do believe it's tightening. If you're having less stimulus, that is tightening. I mean, what they're really doing, they know it's tightening, to be perfectly honest with you. That's my feeling, that they know it. But they're just trying to keep a taper. It's part of their strategy to keep us from having a taper tantrum. They're okay with it. They even talked about several Fed members flat out said they were worried about some of the level of the froth in some risk assets. And Kaplan, the Dallas Fed president, saying that he was worried about excess leverage, taking of leverage and excess risk-taking. So they're okay, I think, with their policy slowing things down and even causing the market to take a breather here. They just don't want it to happen all at once, because that does cause problems. Now, as for what happens in the overall marketplace, and the second part of your question is where to look, is I think it will cause interest rates to move higher, long-term interest rates, that is. And we see, I'm looking at that kind of 1.3% level that we got up to last the week before last, and which was also the high from over the summer. You break above that, that's going to, get people nervous. And also I'm looking at the yield curve, the 2-year, 10-year spread. You get above 115 basis points, that's going to get us to shift back, I think, to that thing where people are going to look for value over growth. I mean, not to drone on here, but I just want to say that, there's no question. From August of last year until March, we definitely saw value outperform growth. That's because interest rates were rising. When long-term interest rolled over March, the growth took back over, and it kind of reversed that trade. I think we're about to go back in the last 4 months of the year, back to that thing where people are going to like value over growth, and banks, energy stocks, and where some of these big cap tech names are going to face some headwinds.
So on that point, Matt, let's talk a little bit about the inflation setup. As you mentioned, I think you're maybe a little more skeptical of the transitory idea than perhaps some at the Federal Reserve are. And is that value trade, is it really going to be benefiting? Certainly the case for financials, and commodities, you can understand that on an inflationary side. But just as a broader, does the inflation signal to you, I guess, does that say something about the strength of the economy, which thus, all else equal, would generally benefit sort of a value-oriented tilt?
That's a very good point, because we definitely want to distinguish between what you think of traditional value, and 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, you didn't necessarily think of energy stocks as value trades. But as they underperform badly, and same thing with the financial stocks, they rose a little bit, but they still underperform quite badly for several years. They haven't kind of become value plays. But you're right, it's not all value, because the big concern for me on the inflation side is if this whole thing with the Delta variant dies down and the economy picks up. I know you guys were talking earlier about how strong the consumer is. Well, that strength is going to continue on, and that's going to keep the inflation Elevated. I mean, it'll probably come down from its peaks, but it'll still be well above the pre-pandemic levels. So that's an issue. The problem is the other side's also a problem. If we have the COVID variant continues to be a problem, kind of surprises everybody, and then we have you think, well, geez, that'll kill demand. No, that creates stagflation because yeah, demand will come down, but the problem is the supply chain will continue to be a much bigger problem for much longer than people thought, and that will keep prices higher as well. We're already seeing how chip prices are moving up. People are talking about how chip prices are the new oil. Well, higher oil prices due to supply issues, not demand issues, caused the stagflation of the 1970s. If the supply chain issues stay with us, we'll have again another situation where we have inflation due to supply issues, and again that causes stagflation. That's not good for a lot of stocks, and you really want to be careful on which of those value plays you move into.
And Matt, just before we let you go, switching gears, just a fun one for you on how you're thinking about crypto. I know we've talked about Bitcoin in the past, and certainly it's something that you're going to be getting questions from on your clients, where it fits in. We've seen a lot of other coins, Solana, Ether, have a great summer. Just how are you thinking about the crypto space against this backdrop of inflation, the fundamental backdrop really that we've been discussing here?
Yeah, it's kind of hard because we don't know for sure. Is this going to be a good inflation play? It's interesting that Mr. Mobius, one of the big emerging markets investors of all time, is saying people should go 10%. Most people kind of say 5%. He's now saying 10% gold because he's worried about currency devaluations, but that's also an inflation play, and will that be something that we also see in Bitcoin? It's hard to know that for sure, but on a technical basis, there's no question in my mind. The fact that they're pulling back a little bit today, I guess John, one of the guys from the last crisis. He talked about that it's going to be worthless eventually. I don't know, but the point is, on a technical basis, it made an unbelievable nice low at 30,000 level. It broke out above the 40,000 level, broke above its 200-day moving average. Right now, it's just taking a breather. This is normal and healthy. I am a long-term bull. This thing could go anywhere over the short term, but on a technical basis, I think this most recent kind of sideways move of the last couple of days is simply a breather, and the breakout we saw earlier this summer means it's going to go higher before the end of the year.
All right, we'll leave it there. Always fun. Matt Maley, equity strategist at Miller Tabak. Matt, appreciate the time this morning.